You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Guys, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's Draft Wednesday, and I have to tell you about the best fantasy sports site, which is Draft. I wouldn't keep telling you about it if it wasn't the best, so if you haven't tried it out yet, what are you waiting for? Your chances of winning are 80% better than salary cap sites, and that's why it's my favorite fantasy site. I hate getting crushed by the pros on other fantasy sites, and it's not just me. More than 1 million people hate it too, so they've already switched to Draft as well, mostly because it's great. It's an app. It's a website. You can play a real live NBA or NFL or whatever sport draft and be done in under 5 minutes and get paid the next day. Drafts fill every second, so you can join one whenever you want. But right now, I'll do one right now while I'm recording this. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft. But you have to use our promo code LOPACERS to be entered. So that's right, just play in a real money draft for free using our promo code LOPACERS. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it and have a blast with us that they're offering Locked On Pacers listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in the App Store, go to draft.com, either one. I like draft.com, but they're both great. Use the code LOPACERS at checkout for that free entry into a real money draft. Come join me and Adam on Draft today. Help support the podcast. Have fun. What could be better? Join Draft. And now, a Bucks preview with Behind the Bucks, site co-expert. Pacers fans, after a long break, welcome back to the Locked On Pacers podcast. I'm your host, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. The Pacers are in Milwaukee tonight to play the Bucks at the, the BMO Harris Center, I think. And to preview that game with me and confirm if I got the stadium name right is Jordan Tresky from Behind the Bucks, the fan-sided Bucks site. Man, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. You got three-fourths of it right. It's BMO Harris Bradley Center. It's a bit of a mouthful.
There's too many words in the stadium name.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been surviving a cold day in Indianapolis. I'm assuming you are surviving the cold as well in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh my God. It is quite rough. I never felt this type of cold this early into winter. It's pretty awful.
Yeah, it has not been fun. And speaking of cold, the Pacers have been cold, and they will be looking to right the ship against this Bucks team that currently sits at 21st in pace, 9th in offense, and 24th in defense. We always try to nail these fundamentals when we do our own like preview of the week, but when I have the team expert, which is you, for the other team on, I try to see if that reflects how they play or if some recent runs have, you know, really influenced that because it's still only halfway through the year. You know, do you think that's pretty accurate for what this team is?
Yeah, I would definitely – I think that really reflects in just watching these games and stuff like that, where obviously the big like point of emphasis for every Bucks fan, and even, you know, it's kind of creepy into how casual fans or fans of other teams kind of see the Bucks, where they talk about the defensive problems that are kind of stem from, you know, Jason Kidd's tendency to really stick with this blitzing defensive scheme that, you know, we have enough evidence that does not work at this point, and it, for whatever reason, he keeps sticking to that gun. And it's not helping the Bucks currently. But ever since getting Eric Bledsoe, I mean, him and Giannis and Chris Middleton, they've really kind of powered the Bucks for, you know, almost 2 months now since he's been here, where, you know, there's a bunch of nicknames. Choose whatever nickname that you like to, you know, use for it. Marquee 3, Brew 3, whatever it is. But that's kind of really boosted their offense, and it may not be like the most, you know, precise execution every once in a while. It's a little bit one-on-one dependent kind of stuff like that, but it's been proving since Bledsoe's come along that they've been a top 10 offensive team for sure.
That's really cool. You know, I was pretty high on that Bledsoe move, obviously, because if you get him for that price, you get him, but I thought he fit well next to Giannis as, you know, a defensive guy who can be a secondary creator, and, you know, you can use Giannis as a dummy for cuts and things like that. And it seems like, you know, they've been running that hawk action a lot. I know Ben Falk's been tweeting about that. That's been working with those two as well. But I think you have to talk about Giannis when you talk about the Bucks. They're almost one and the same at this point. Has he been? You know, I know he was talked about as the very, very early favorite for MVP, which I know now he's fallen to probably third. Oh, no. But, you know, how great has he been? How much better than last year has he been? All that good stuff.
I mean, it's crazy because from where he started from when he came in the league, you know, over close to 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, sorry. It's night and day of just type of player that he is. And obviously there's the whole issue about his jump shot, and that's always going to be what stands out about it. But he's really maximized everything as a player and how he creates, even without having the ball in his hands sometimes. Obviously, that's why they got Eric Bledsoe to kind of lighten the workload for him. But he's nearly averaging 30 points per game. I mean, he is a threat of a scorer. I mean, he's one of the best scoring threats in the league right now, even if he doesn't, you know, necessarily have that three-point jump shot or even a workable jump shot outside of, you know, just making his way to the rim all the time. So it's crazy to just see how these improvements keep coming year after year. And when you think he cannot reach that, you know, kind of next echelon or level or whatever, he still manages a way to top that and become, you know, one of the best players in the league. So it's, from a Bucks fan perspective, it's still kind of, you still have to wrap your head around that, the fact that you have a player as great of a talent as Giannis is and keeps getting better. He's only 23 years old still. It feels, you know, he's been in the league 5 years. You kind of know how he plays at this point, but he's still 23 years old. That's pretty remarkable, no matter what player you are and where you came from and all that stuff. Just that's what makes the whole story of Giannis even more compelling, honestly.
Yeah, you said the funniest thing to me. Well, you didn't say it, but it's a narrative that's been happening is like, oh, Giannis doesn't have a jumper. And like, everyone's like, man, if he gets a jumper, he'd be so good. And then every year he gets better without adding a jumper. So he doesn't need to add the jumper. He can score 30 points without being able to shoot that great from mid-range or longer. So that's what makes him so impressive to me is, like, you know what to do and he still does it every night.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. Yeah. You know what he's going to do. And you see it with other players. Like, I know, like, the only archetype you can kind of really, from a player perspective, that you can kind of see parallels with is LeBron. But, I mean, look at what LeBron's doing this year. He's having one of his best shooting seasons of all time. Or not all time, but of his career. And Giannis doesn't have that luxury. Obviously, he's only been in the league 5 years. But he's still doing these things without having a reliable jumper to work with. It's getting better incrementally, where he's kind of having like these post turnaround fadeaways, or he's kind of seeing his spots from like maybe 20 feet in, all this stuff. But it doesn't, it's almost used to like kind of limit what he is instead of kind of celebrate how good he is without something like that, which it's basketball. The basis of the game is to score more points than the other team. And if you're doing that without a working jumper, that's pretty remarkable no matter what.
It sure is, and I'm so afraid of him in this game because of the matchup issues he will obviously declare for the Pacers. But who else has been awesome for the Bucks that I should be worried about otherwise?
I would say Eric Bledsoe. I mean, he has been exactly what the Bucks needed. He's been that, as you said before, secondary ball handler. For me, what I really gravitated towards doing a trade, like getting a guy like Bledsoe, is because he adds another dimension of just his speed. He's so fast. He's really good at finishing around the basket with both hands too. He's just really crafty that way. And the Bucks really did not have that. They had, you know, a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, who obviously reigning rookie of the year, but you wouldn't say like, you know, he's a speed demon or anything like that. Matthew Dellavedova is not the same way like that. They needed kind of something to work with where you get a little more versatility, you get more kind of boost up your athleticism even more so. And they've been lacking that for a long time, maybe since like Brandon Knight, I would say, that wow. Nearest parallel. I know, yeah. You know, blast from the past type of thing. But yeah, he's been exactly what the Bucks have needed. And he really started off shooting the three ball really poorly. I mean, granted, he didn't play 2 weeks of basketball considering the, you know, what was going on in Phoenix during that time. But that's starting to kind of get back to where it normally is for him. So he's really boosted the Bucks on both ends of the floor since coming.
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid of Bledsoe in this one just because, I mean, Corey Joseph's been good as the backup point guard, but he plays a lot of two kind of mix and matches with other guards on the team. And you know, Collison can't guard anything, so Bledsoe's going to cook him. And with that, and you know, Oladipo's not playing, which you saw already, so that means Joe Young's going to get some big minutes and Bledsoe can cook him too. So I'm kind of worried about Bledsoe in this one. Especially, I'm glad you chose him instead of Middleton when I asked that question, because I wanted to rant that I'm afraid of that. And we'll get into some of those Bucks matchups that I'm afraid of later, but this is a Pacers podcast, and we've kind of avoided them. So let's talk about the Pacers and what matchups they could exploit. You know, if it was a normal, fully healthy Pacers team, obviously Oladipo is going to go at whoever, you know, whoever's guarding him. But without him, I think the focus shifts a little bit towards if John Henson starts trying to make Miles Turner draw him away from the basket.
Yeah, completely. And Henson's had a better year for sure. Probably one of his best seasons of his career. But even a guy like Miles Turner, who can, you know, hit from beyond the arc and stuff like that, that can kind of put Henson out on an island. And if he doesn't have that working defensively, you're gonna have like a guy like Thon Maker, who's had a very inconsistent season so far, even though he is coming off one of his best games of the season. How much can you really rely on that? Honestly, we could probably see a lot of Giannis at the five, especially if the game is really close. And I think that's where the Bucks may have the advantage. But it just depends on if they pull that out at the right time.
I think that'd be a massive advantage. The Pacers' bigs are not the best at defending in space. Turner's been okay at it, but yeah, you know, Giannis would just kill either of them, especially Sabonis. So I worry about that. I'm not really worried about Thon because, you know, they talked about this on Dunk Don, but I noticed it when I was watching a little Bucks before this game too, is that they don't use him very well to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure, keeping him behind the 3-point line, but this year he's kind of outside of his strengths. Mm-hmm. So now that I said I'm not worried about him, he's gonna score like 30 points. But yeah, I'm not too concerned with what he does. But I do like Henson on the defensive end especially, but I think if Turner can get him away from the rim, that could be something they pick on. And then on the second unit, you know, I guess you have a really solid wing rotation, but I know Gary Payton was playing at some point, so maybe some second unit wing stuff can go well for the Pacers, but I'm not too sure who the rotation is now, so maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if we're being honest about this, Bucks fans are not even sure what the bench unit rotation is either, because that's just how Jason Kidd operates. He's kind of a, you know, go by feel, go with what you know. If this player's got it. Like last night, for example, Matthew Dellavedova had probably one of his best games in a Bucks uniform, just really, really stable with the ball and stuff like that. So he got crunch time minutes, and that obviously they eventually lost the game against Toronto. But it's one of those things where, you know, guy like DeAndre Liggins, he'll have 25 minutes one game, and then we'll register 3 straight DMPs. You just never really, really know with Jason Kidd, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll talk about Kidd later. I have some of my own theories about Kidd, but. Saw Liggins played a lot, and that made me laugh. And about earlier in the season, and I found a clip of him against the Bucks, and I was like, "Oh, who's that guy?" And I had to look it up, and it was DeAndre Liggins. I figured it out with the number, but yeah, that could be something that Pacers look to do. Although I will say, Snell, Middleton, Giannis, you know, Brogdon, if he plays at the two, those guys are. If he goes with the stable rotation, I'd expect, then maybe that won't work out. But if Liggins or excuse me, whoever gets in there, maybe not. What do you think the Bucks are going to try to exploit in this one? I know you said Giannis at center, but let's pick a not Giannis exploitation.
Oh, that's a good question. I think Bledsoe with the point guards. You know, I for some reason I've always been a big fan of Corey Joseph. I just like his game. But again, that kind of speed element. Even though Derrick Collison can kind of he's pretty athletic even at his age. I don't know. Middleton's kind of the wild card from my perspective, is that he's had really good games with him in the past against the Pacers. And obviously without Paul George and Oladipo, or not Paul George, obviously Pacers just traded Paul George, but Oladipo's not playing. I'm trying to think who would Bojan Bogdanović, would he match up
against? Yeah, he'll be at the three most likely.
Yeah, so he'll probably be matched up on against Middleton, and you know, he's not the greatest defensive player, obviously. But he's kind of he could kind of tip the scale one game if he has a really good shooting night, or could tip the scale the other way if he, you know, if it's the shot's not falling. So I feel like that would kind of be like the X factor in how the game is determined. And it's kind of interesting too, because we were talking about this on my podcast, kind of previewing Bucks have a really East heavy schedule coming up. And we're talking about the Pacers, and the Bucks played the Pacers in the preseason. You know, this is obviously before Oladipo, you know, showing out in, you know, an all-star way, and all like the Pacers just really surprising, and they wiped the floor with the Bucks during that preseason game. They were just so much faster. They looked, you know, this is all like cliche stuff, but they just looked really into it and just wiped the Bucks off the floor. And it was kind of one of those things where it kind of opened up like, oh, maybe this Pacers team has something here. And obviously, you know, they're, you know, 19-19 or close to it, or close to 500 at least, that it kind of makes me scared about this game where you're coming into the year where it's like, oh, maybe the Bucks will probably be better than Pacers. Who never knows? Like, you just didn't really know about this Pacers team. And then, you know, they're doing what they're doing now. And it's from my perspective, it's fun to see a team kind of come together that quickly.
Yeah, the Bucks are one of my guilty to watch. And, you know, they've been succeeding well. And without Oladipo, they're totally different. They're 0-4 without him this year. Not quite the Westbrook mold level last year, but the on-off splits for Oladipo are 12 points apart, so they really need him. Kind of alluded to it, but my interest in this game lies in how the matchups work on the wing, because with Snell and Middleton, whoever they're guarding between Lance Stephenson and Bojan is going to be so fascinating to me on both ends, I guess, who's guarding the other one too, because Bojan can't guard anything. So, you know, those are the four guys that I'll be most interested to see how they match it up. But have been playing on offense recently. I'm hopeful that Middleton is on Stephenson, and then Bojan can get free on these traps that Jason Kidd likes to run so much.
Yeah, for sure. That'll definitely be how he threatens the Bucks, kind of the way.
Yeah, that was my forced kid transition. But so my opening here is that the biggest thing that made me like annoyed, I guess, earlier in the year is in the Cavs game, I think, when you guys were up 3 with the intentional miss. Was that the Cavs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the Cavs.
No, it is much. I actually have some fun stat stuff for you that you might know, you might not. This season, they've only made one heave. Shout out to Ish Smith. It's like 1 for 54 or something crazy, like 0.89% this season on heaves. And 4-point plays happen like 0.9% of the times or something. Like, it was technically okay. So I thought it was stupid that that's the thing that people kill him for, but he does do a lot of dumb things.
Yes, it is. The Fire Kid movement is running rampant through Bucks Twitter, and I'm not the most vocal about it. It's just one of those things that you have to kind of deal with, and you whenever you talk about the Bucks big picture, you kind of have to, like, you definitely have to address it at this point, but you also have to kind of like try to think of ways that you can go around it where the best case scenario can happen like that. But at this point in time where these weird kind of game management tactics that he employs and just strain, obviously we talked about the defense scheme that he keeps clinging to all this, you know, this deep into his tenure and stuff like that. And you're just thinking like, okay, like there's not that adaptability that you really want to see from a good coach. And it can be the fine line of seeing like where the Bucks, like the players may not have a good night, and seeing where Kidd is kind of hamstringing this team, you know, their ceiling and all this, and this window that they kind of want to create. It's getting so blurred. And that's why I think there's just so many people that really just they can't take it anymore. It's getting to that point where it's like, how can we really think, you know, see this team realize its potential when it feels like the coach is actively undermining how to, you know, get the strengths of this team down? You know what I mean? It's just, it's strange.
It seems like he increases the variance of the chance they win games so much in either direction, because when we talked about this game, I was like, okay, here's what's going to happen. You know, for those of you that don't know, they trap, I mean, everything basically above the outside the 3-point line. So Darren Collison's kind of short and has shorter arms. So the Bucks are notoriously long. So on the traps, you know, it's going to be bad for Collison because he's short. So maybe they'll get a few extra steals off that. But on the flip side, the Pacers are top 10 in 3-point percentage. So if he does get the ball out and they, you know, get the extra pass, they'll have good looks from deep. So
yep,
the scales tip in that favor. If it's more turnovers, then the Bucks will probably win. If it's better threes for the Pacers, then they'll probably win. So it's just such a high variance decision, and you know, against good teams, you're going to lose the high variance battle more often than not. So, you know, he's a very interesting head coach.
Yeah, completely agree. If you're a team that can work the ball around the perimeter and hit your shots, I mean, that's how the Bucks will pretty much lose any game that they're kind of close into it, especially against a good team like the Pacers too.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that, you know, Bojan's been shooting awful from 3 recently, but if he can right the ship in this trap-friendly game, that'd be really nice. But time for the big granddaddy question. What do you think the final score is going to be in this game?
Oh, I would probably say it's a close up to being like a toss-up, but being without Oladipo, I think that really swings it in the Bucks' favor. I'm going to go probably, I don't know, let's go Bucks by like, let's go Bucks by 9.
All right, I had Bucks by 5 on our weekly pod. Before we knew about Depot, I think the Bucks are going to win because they have the best player on the court by a substantial amount. But this will be a good one. And I think they play like 3 times in the next 2 weeks or something like that, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the Pacers aren't the only team like that. The Raptors, they just played on Monday night. They're going to face them Friday night of this week. The Wizards, I think they have like kind of like a back-to-back set going on. So they're going to be seeing a lot of same teams in like really like short amount of time span. So, yeah, we'll be seeing a lot of, I guess, Pacers too. And obviously the first meeting too of the season.
Yeah, that's, you know, we always try to have someone else on who knows the team better for that first game. They play again next Monday, but don't think we're going to need you that close to a game that everybody just watched. But yeah, it's weird that they're so close together. You know, if Oladipo doesn't play in both, that really swings the season series in a dumb way. I don't like that about the schedule.
Yeah, for sure.
But you got anything you want to promote? I know you have a podcast and a website, so I think you do.
Yeah, I'm a co-site expert of Behind the Buck Pass. You can find all our work. It's me and Adam McGee holding it down there, and our cast of, you know, rotating writers. There's post-game stuff, there's analysis pieces, a bunch of stuff. They can find anything Bucks related. And we also host a podcast called Win in Six. Been doing that for, oh man, 2.5 years now. So we're getting up there, kind of having fun with it and all that stuff. So that comes out on Mondays and Fridays. We also have a second episode that starting this year with focusing on Wisconsin Herd and taking mailbag questions, all this stuff. So it's very fun to do.
That's great, man. Well, everybody check that out. Check out Buck's stuff. You know, they'll have their own perspective of the post game on Behind the Buck's Pass. I keep saying Bucks, but it's Behind the Buck Pass.
Trust me, I had the same problem when I first started like writing for, like, I kept getting mixed with a, you know, singular and plural like that. So I do the same thing.
Behind the Buck Pass. Make sure you check it out for their post game perspective. Thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
What's your Twitter handle so people can follow you?
I'm at Jordan Treske, Treske.
There we go. And as always, I'm at TEastNBA. The podcast is at Locked On Pacers. We will see you guys tomorrow to recap this game, which hopefully the Pacers right the ship and win. Have to see. Have a great Wednesday.